Hello. Hi, everybody. It's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Welcome
Hello.
To the call. Okay, I think there's a lot of people on. So just first thing, if there's any background noise, nobody's on mute on my calls. So if you have any noise in the background, or you have a funny connection, if you could just put yourself on mute because it is way amplified on, even on the recordings. It comes across very loud. Sometimes we can figure out who it is, sometimes we can't. So just to put that out there. Wow, that sounds better already. I think some people just muted themselves. Okay, so welcome to Dare Challenge Week. Just want to make sure everybody knows that that's the call they're on. We have a bunch of DARE programs that run. So this is your first day and your first call on your first day. Welcome, everybody. If anybody would like to pop on and just say hi, your name, and maybe even just generally where you're from, so we know who's on the call.
Hi, Michelle. It's Marcia, and I'm here for Intrusive Thoughts.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Hey, my name is JD. I'm in Bend, Oregon, and I'm here for anticipatory anxiety.
What is your name? I missed that.
JD.
JD, hi.
Alba from Atlanta, and for healthy sensation.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Alba.
Olga, hi.
Alba from Atlanta for healthy issues.
Health issues. Okay.
This is Jay from Nebraska.
James? Is that right? James?
Jay, the initial.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jim from Detroit, Michigan, here for the Coming Through Setbacks.
Hi, Jim.
Hello, this is Ruvar, calling from Norway. I'm here for. Hello, I'm here for feeling trapped.
Okay.
Yes, my name is Donna. I'm in Virginia, and I'm here for health issues.
Hi, Donna. Did you get everybody? Anybody else on that didn't say hi?
Hey, Michelle, it's Edward from Los Angeles.
Who's here from LA? Los Angeles?
Edward.
Edward, hi.
Hey.
When done correctly, this has a soothing effect on your nervous system.
Okay, anybody else?
My name's John, and I'm from London, and I'm here for The Trapped.
Hi, John.
Good luck.
And this is Jane here from California for anticipatory anxiety.
Okay. Hi, Jane.
Hi, this is Mike from Pennsylvania. I'm here for social anxiety.
Okay. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
I love saying how are you on the very first call, right? Like such a stupid question. Hi, how are you? Oh. For everybody that's brand new on the phone call, a little anxious, right? So also just to let everybody know, the calls here are recorded just to be accessed by people that are part of this group, which is kind of cool because you can go back and listen to it over and over again. You'll have access to these calls even after the program ends. I like to suggest that if something really clicks or there's like a really good part of the call that you want to go back to and listen to again, just mark the time down of the call. Because as we'll have two calls in this group, but if you move on to some of our other groups like Dare Advanced and like our regular phone calls, you'll accumulate lots of groups and recordings. So sometimes you find little bits on different calls. So I would say mark down the time of the call. The time of, you know, when the good stuff is said. Also, John usually pops in at the beginning of the calls just to listens to the first few minutes of the recording because I usually ask if there are any technical problems so he can address them the next day. Anybody here having a hard time accessing anything? And this way, if it's said on the call, he can check it out tomorrow.
Yeah, this might be a little bit boring because I messaged on the Facebook group, but your member section doesn't actually work on a mobile phone.
Really?
Yeah.
The member section on the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been having problems with that too, and I've been having, this is Donna, I've been having problems with that too, not being able to log in, and I have an issue report in, and we've been exchanging emails back and forth because my login is not functioning, so I can't get on.
Huh. Is that the same problem you're having, John?
Yeah, so when you get to the member section, it just kind of blanks out a white page. So Suzanne on Facebook actually helped me out and just sent me the transcription instead of the audio. So.
Oh, that's not good. Okay. So he'll probably hear this, but I will send a message too. Is that somebody else?
Yeah, that's a different issue than what I'm having. My login won't work, so.
Okay.
Yeah, with the member page not working, this is JD. I'm actually a web developer. So one of the problems I had, and I wonder if you're having the same issue, after I logged in, I bookmarked my challenge. And then when I tried to access the bookmark later, it was that blank page. And so I realized, no, you got to go to the main member page and bookmark that and log in before you go to your challenge. You can't bookmark and go straight to the challenge if that's the problem you're having with having a blank page there.
Yeah, no, mine's not a bookmark issue because I'll just I'll go to the because I keep going to Chrome and then working my way back from the beginning of the web page. Like, I'll go to theirresponse.com and I go all the way through, but it just doesn't matter what I do or how I access it or where I access it, it will not load.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out since I noticed that problem.
Cool, thanks, Steve.
And have you been in touch with customer support? Did you send them a message?
Me, yes, I have.
Okay, good. They get back to you pretty quickly. But if not, and also I want to give you guys my email address anyway, just in case you can't get through to somebody, which basically never happens. But even if you want to speak with me or send me a message, even after this week is over, my email address, email is the best way to reach me, is Michelle with two L's, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Kavanaugh, C-A-V-A-N-A-U-G-H, coaching@gmail.com. So just to put that out there, I'll say that again on the next call. But this call runs approximately an hour, and then we'll have our second and our last call on this coming Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Okay? Hopefully everything will be cleared up by then, because 7 days goes quickly. So just a brief little introduction of me. I am Michelle Kavanaugh. I live in New York. I am married. I have three children. I will reference my children throughout these calls and any future calls if you come on, because they are my anxiety references oftentimes. Barry had started, we've gone through different versions of coaching programs, but they started about 10 years ago. And, cause I think as most people can have seen, you read through whatever program you've gotten, the book, it's there now, you know, before it used to be called Panic Away. And for the most part, most people say, oh, I get it. I like this. This makes sense. But there's always like a big but. It's really hard to do. Like, I get it, but it's very hard to do. So he started a coaching program 10 years ago, and ever since then, I've been running it for him. So we've gone through some changes and, you know, basically things that when we get feedback from you, what clicks the most, what's the least helpful, where you had your aha moments, what parts were a little confusing. So that's what we love, feedback. So anything, you know, as the program moves forward or even afterwards, if you ever want to let us know how it goes or if you have any questions, you know, the whole point is, you know, making adjustments so people can get the most information and the most help in the quickest period of time. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I'm licensed to practice in New York. Technically, through this program, I am considered a coach. I'm here to coach you through how DARE works and how to apply it to your particular situation. Everybody might be here on a different challenge. And you might think, are we supposed to be on the same call if I have this problem and she's got that problem? Probably by the time this call is over, you'll see it's all kind of the same thing. I think there's probably a bunch of you on the call that had just picked your top offender, right? Because you probably could have checked like 90% of the boxes of which challenge you wanted to do. Is that anybody on who said like, I could have checked everything?
Yep.
Definitely.
Okay. So that's why the group calls are cool. And I've always loved running these calls because sometimes on the surface level, it sounds like people are giving talking about two different problems. Like, oh, my anxiety is agoraphobia. I haven't left my house. And somebody else might be social anxiety or intrusive thoughts. It's basically, you know, the gist of what we've heard people introducing themselves. But as you see, as we'll get further into the call, it's really not about whatever that discomfort is for you. And I use the term discomfort very lightly, you know. It all has the same common thread, which is why the DARE challenges are really, you'll have the daily challenges that are sent to you for you to read and for you to implement geared towards your particular thing, whether it's intrusive thoughts or health anxiety or anticipatory anxiety. But when we come on the group calls, you'll really start seeing like, oh my God, it really is all the same kind of thing, and it's the same approach. So whether it's nausea or derealization or panic attack, it's all the same approach. But the DARE challenge is basically to show you, okay, so this is how you use DARE, the same exact way, but how you use it in regards to health, how you use it in regards to a setback. Okay, so basically, we all have the same challenges, but these calls is what's going to bring it all together. So I try and give just a little bit of background of what I try and share with everybody who's brand new on a call, whether it's a one-to-one call or a group call or whatnot. So I'm going to blab on for like a few minutes. If you don't understand me, I talk too fast, and I don't think I have an accent, but I apparently do. So if it's hard to understand, just yell out my name. Tell me to slow down, and if you need anything clarified, let me know. So I'm just going to give some information, and then I'm just going to open up the call to see, you know, if anybody has questions, anybody has feedback, needs clarification. The call runs approximately an hour. I honestly, if we go a little bit over, it's okay. So don't think I have to get my question in. And if we don't get your question in or whatever you want to share, there's always Friday's call too. Okay. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. I once did a group call with myself on mute for 20 minutes. So ask Barry about that one. That was a freaking disaster. So that's why I ask every once in a while. Want to make sure I hear somebody's voice on the other end.
Hey, Michelle. I just wanted to say this is Kelly from Colorado. I'm in the group.
Kelly, hi, what's going on?
Hi there, hey there, and I actually was on that call when you put yourself on mute.
No, were you?
I was, but hey, I'll let you, I just wanted to say a quick hello.
Hi, and you're still coming back for more, huh?
You know, and I want to let everyone know, again, my name's Kelly. I'm from Colorado. I am proud to say I've been part of DARE for a few years now, and Michelle's known me a long time, and I see this, I've got to be honest, you know, my husband and I, we have a 20-year-old house. We've had a lot of things going wrong. You get to that age with your house where you have to repair things, and I don't know if it was something's wrong with one of our gutters on the roof, and it's going to cost however much it was going to cost. It was one thing after another. I've seen Barry advertise this, and I just see it as an opportunity for, I was like, oh, my God, this is so much less than any of this other stuff, and this is much more important than the stupid gutter on my roof. And so, guys, if anyone, this is your first time experiencing Michelle, you are just going to grab onto every little Michelle-ism. And I'm just really, what I really like about this is that it's the first time that the program, because I've been through all of the programs that DARE has offered and on my little journey quest, and I tell you, to see it as something, you know, that you're dialing in on specific topics, and I think it really all comes down to, at the end of the day, of you know, either trying to fight it, how you're feeling, worrying about it, trying to control it, and I would just love to see how you all are packaging it and what new things we can learn. So I'm really excited to be. I let Suzanne know I was going to be a part of the group.
Oh, good, good. Oh, well, welcome on. I'm glad you're on.
Thank
you. One of my oldies.
Yes, I am one of the oldies.
Brush up.
And you know what? It's just, I see it as just an awesome way to do a tune-up, and I think what I've really learned on this journey is that Barry always says it's like, you know, peeling an onion. It's true, and there's so many different layers, mm-hmm. and I've just realized that on my journey that at the end of the day, you know, it can still be tied to as far as control and getting frustrated mm-hmm. and trying to stop it, and it's like I'm doing very, very well on my journey, but I just am really excited to see it be specific to this topic, which for me is definitely the one.
Mm-hmm. Which one was yours? Because we have a few different ones, people on the same call.
Oh, I didn't. That's right. Sorry, I had to come on a few minutes late. So my apologies. It's the body sensations one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I could have guessed that.
That's me. You know me. Always looking for that off switch that doesn't exist. Yep.
But I think that's what we all do. We look for the off switch. And the thing is, this approach, it's really the approach, and I've been saying this the last couple of months, it's kind of like the Seinfeld approach. If anybody's seen Seinfeld from like the 90s, it was the show about nothing. DARE is really, learning how to do nothing and teaching people that are really good at doing things how to do nothing. So just to back up for a couple minutes, the reason for that is because what we're doing is we're kind of hitting this button and calling our alarm system for help, right? So I refer to all of this as our alarm system. You know, you go through middle school and high school, you learn about all your other systems in your body. You know, your digestive system, your circulatory system. You learn how your body works, and it makes sense. It doesn't always work perfectly, right? There's times in life where things fluctuate, and even throughout the day, things go up and down. But for the most part, our body sort of regulates itself. We never are taught about our alarm system, which really stinks because we all have one, and we're supposed to have one. It keeps you alive, right? This is that fight or flight response that I think most people on this call are very well aware of, that ring, that rush of adrenaline, that fight or flight, right? You have that feeling that I just need to do something. Sometimes it's a panic attack, it manifests in all different ways. But sorry, I'm coming off of a cold from one of my lovely children. So back years and years and years ago, we really did have to survive all day long. You know, we lived out without shelter, and we had to find food, and it was survival, right? There was no Amazon Prime, and my package didn't come in 2 days, and no, like, there's a lion, and I have to not eat the poisonous berry, and we had to stay alive. So we needed our alarm to help us. Our alarm system rings when it senses danger. So if there was something that could potentially be dangerous, what's cool, kind of, about our alarm system is that we didn't have to summon it. It kind of rings on its own, you know? So if it senses danger, you don't have to do anything to get your body to jump into action. Boom, automatically jumped into action. Like if somebody drops a big pot in the kitchen right behind you, you jump, right? So you walk around the corner and somebody's standing there you weren't expecting. There's that reaction. That's your alarm system. Something happens. So here is some energy in the form of adrenaline and all these other chemicals that rush through your body so that you can be prepared to do something. Sometimes that's fighting. Sometimes that's flinging. Sometimes that's freezing, right? You're out in the wilderness, out in the open, and there's a tiger. Don't have to think about it. Boom, here's that energy. Get the hell out of there. Get away from the tiger, or fight the tiger, or freeze so the tiger doesn't see you. And then when it's done, and you go, done. Tiger's dead, or I beat the tiger, or I got away from the tiger. I'm good. We're done. We stop fighting, right? When we stop, our alarm checks in and says, Michelle, she's alive. She did it. Wind it down. Let's wind it back down. Tiger's gone. Danger is over. And our alarm kind of turns itself off. Our body regulates itself. So, which is great. That's kind of how it's all supposed to work. Where we get stuck is we start fighting ideas of tigers. Like, or what if there's a tiger? And we start fighting feelings and things we don't like. We fight discomfort. And again, I'm saying that when I cringe sometimes when I say that on a first call, because I know how uncomfortable the discomfort is. But when you boil it all down, it really is just discomfort. And just as a word, you're going to want to start using a lot more to diffuse what's really happening. It feels like X, Y, and Z, right? I'll have people come on and say, it's not just, oh, my heart rate went up. No, with us, it's very colorful and descriptive, right? It's not, I feel my heart skip a beat. No, it's, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I feel like my heart is beating out of my chest. It's always something colorful and descriptive, right? So when we fight something, whatever it is, whether it's an idea, whether it's a thought, whether it's a sensation, the perception of a situation, when we're fighting something as if it's danger, our alarm just knows we're fighting. And we do it in very subtle ways. Fight can be going about your life anyway, but kind of white-knuckling it, like just hanging on for dear life. Fight could be in distraction, right? Like, okay, just think of something else. Don't think of that thought. That thought is awful. Don't think of that. Or, okay, there's that feeling in my body. Oh, let's do something else. Let's keep busy so I don't have to feel that anymore. Very subtle, but it's fight. Fight, resistance. Kelly said it before, control. To me, it always comes down to control and vulnerability. And our alarm rings when we start fighting, when we feel like we're not in 100% of control of the situation, right? That feeling trapped, right? You're probably not actually trapped, right? I don't think anybody's calling me from the lair of their kidnappers right now, right? Nobody's actually tied up somewhere, I don't think. If you are, you are definitely calling the wrong number and you should hang up and call somebody else. But when it feels that way, you know, I feel like I'm stuck in traffic or at the hair salon or at the drive-thru at McDonald's and there's a curb on the side and there's a car behind me and a car in front of me. And I feel trapped. We start fighting how we feel. Our alarm starts ringing as if a feeling is dangerous. So because we are still alive and we still have thoughts and our bodies are still working, we will always have thoughts and sensations that we don't like. So DARE is not designed to get rid of discomfort. We've always had discomfort. A lot of times it kind of maybe flew under the radar, maybe back in the day, back before our alarm started getting a little overprotective and ringing at everything. But now when it senses discomfort, it's sensing discomfort as something dangerous because we're trying to feel better. We're trying to get rid of thought. So our alarm will keep ringing. Our alarm system rings to basically tell us, hey, you told me that was dangerous. Hey, there's that thing again. Pay attention to that. So where we think we're going at it to try and feel better, what we're doing is we're actually our alarm system is coming to put it more in front of our face, right? To pay more attention to it. And that's why it's so easy to kind of get stuck in that cycle. It keeps ringing because we keep fighting, but we keep fighting because it keeps ringing. So DARE, diffuse, allow, and towards engage. Whether it's intrusive thoughts, whether it's health anxiety, whether it's physical sensations, it doesn't really matter. DARE is designed to learn how to not fight the idea of those things. What if this is a heart attack? What if I have cancer? There's a thought I don't like. They're all things that are not happening right now, usually. They are the ideas of things. They are the feelings of things in our body. I might really be feeling something, but I'm definitely attaching it to something that's 10 times worse, right? Oh, I'm feeling lightheaded. What if I pass out, right? We go kind of all or nothing. So we take a sensation that's uncomfortable, and we kind of attach it to something that's worst-case scenario. So there, diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. Technically is not designed to make you feel better. It's learning how to not fight the things that we don't like. See, anxiety is not in the discomfort at all. It seems like it. Anxiety is not in those thoughts, those far out there thoughts that make you feel like you're going crazy. It's not in the sensation. Anxiety is in resistance. Anxiety lives in the fight of discomfort. And Aunt Kelly, I'll say that on 47 times on each call. I'll say it over and over and over again because it's a matter of switching what your focus is on. It's not about feeling better. It's about not fighting feeling discomfort. And by doing so, by diffuse, allow, run towards, engage, you're letting go of the fight of whatever it is you're feeling, whatever it is you're fighting. Diffuse, oh, well, so what, who cares? And we'll get further into it in a little bit. But it's learning how to use those words. It really is just a thought. It really is just a sensation. Accept and allow. There's that sensation that I'm already feeling. I guess that's what I'm feeling. Run towards. I guess it could feel even stronger. I could have a thought all day long. It's still just a thought. I don't have to like it. I can't turn off my fear, but I can choose not to fight fear and then engage. So I'm going to take learning how to take discomfort, give it a nod, allow it to be there, and continue back into your life. Not to try and distract yourself and control it all and make it go away, but to basically send this message that this discomfort is now irrelevant. And irrelevant has been a word I've really been using the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 months that I wish I would have used earlier. Like, how does something become irrelevant? You know, you don't make something irrelevant by working really hard at it, right? It's like trying to forget about something and spending all day thinking about the thing you want to forget about. How does that work, right? It doesn't work like that. It keeps it important. It keeps it on your radar. Oh, forget about that thing right there. Forget about that thing right there. All right, let me check in and see if I've forgotten about that thing. Oh, shoot, there's that thing. We're trying very, very, very hard to get rid of something, but what that's doing is it's keeping it very important. And there is learning how to let go of discomfort so that it starts to not be so important anymore. Still uncomfortable, but unimportant. It's the steps on how to do nothing. And when you truly just do nothing, you allow that discomfort to, it's there anyway. Right? But when you let it go, you allow it to start to float away into this back under the radar where it's just discomfort. It's just a thought. It's just a sensation. I just don't like how I feel without the fight. And I tend to get people that are not good at doing nothing. And I don't know anybody on the call could put themselves into that category, but I get I tend to get people that are very bright, smart, logical-minded people, very good at making associations between things, very good at, troubleshooting things in the future at work, very good at their jobs, type A personalities, the go-getters, the doers, the multitaskers, very creative brains, black and white thinking. It's all or nothing. I've done it perfectly. Or on the complete failure, it's a total disaster. People that are very intuitive, sort of, like very, very much more aware of their own thoughts and their body, and even the environment, and maybe other people, very aware of things like that. I don't know if I'm off base or not. Anybody on the call could relate to any of that? Personality traits?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yes? Okay, I was going to say, there's no way. I have nobody that says so, not me.
Yeah, my example that I always give is I noticed everything. My wife and I bought a new house 2 years ago, and we did our final walkthrough with the builder. And as we walked through, I noticed of all the screws in the house holding the light plates, one they used a Phillips, and the rest they used a flathead. And she was like, I would have never caught that.
Oh, well, you're on the right call. Because, disaster! No! Right? Disaster. Yeah. Change that screw. But, you know, we're good at that stuff. It's almost like a superpower when you think of it in that way. Like, we might see hundreds of shades of green. But somebody else, like, let's say my husband, he might see 10 shades of green. So we see the world way more colorful way. But we also see many, many more shades of green that we don't like than my husband. Oh, there's just that one I don't like. I don't like olives, you know? Well, oh, really? Well, let me tell you about these other 37 that I don't like. And when we don't like something, we're very good at trying to get rid of things. I have people on these calls that are very good at doing things. They're like, Michelle, I don't know you from a hole in the wall, but tell me what to do, and I will do it 100% and 10%. I will meditate for 9 hours a day, and I'm going to cover myself in Epsom salts and sniff lavender and get myself to sleep and just tell me what to do. And the fighters, right? Because anxiety lives in the fight, that's why I have the best fighters. I have the strongest people on this call, and I'm not telling you that to make you feel good. I'm telling you that because that's how it works. You're very good at doing things. And I don't know anybody on the call that's really good at just doing nothing. Like, whatever. We'll figure that out if it happens. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that could be a medical problem. I don't know. We'll see. Or, whatever. I mean, that's usually not the MO on these phone calls. Unless somebody on the call is like, oh, yeah, that's me. I kind of take things one day at a time. No. Silence.
Dan and Warwick, what's up, Dan?
Hey, Mike. I just got a question about the Giants. In your years of
experience... Oh. Sorry. I had to mute somebody about football. So it's this strange kind of counterintuitive approach. I know I kind of rambled on for a bit, but does all of that kind of make sense? It's not learning how to get rid of discomfort. It's learning how to stop the fight and resistance. And accepting and allowing the fact that I'm just uncomfortable. I just don't like how I feel. I don't have to like the content of my thoughts. I don't have to like what I'm thinking, but I'm going to start learning how to accept and allow the fact that, there is a thought I don't like. That's kind of all it is. They really are just thoughts we don't like. They're just ideas about situations we don't like. The what ifs, right? The what ifs are the fight of future ideas, future problems that aren't even happening yet. But as long as we're fighting right now, our alarm rings to help us fight. Right now, our anxiety loves the past, and it loves the future, right? It loves to go back to things that happened before. Oh, remember that time I had a panic attack on that train? And then it projects off into the future. What if I have a panic attack next time I get on that train? And when we're fighting anything, we could be fighting memories. We could be fighting the future. But when we fight right now. Right? We are fighting right now, so our alarm is helping us to fight right now, whatever it is. So do you see how everybody could be kind of on the same call, and whatever it is we're trying to fight and control, whatever, it's almost, it really doesn't matter. It's all the same common threads of learning how to let go of the fight. And by doing so, we get stronger. Our confidence grows. See, because it feels like danger, we respond as if it's danger. But, you know, my big Michelle-ism is the smoke alarm in our house. You know, it rings the same exact way with the same exact sound when your house is burning down to the ground as when you've just burned cookies in the oven. Right? It doesn't differentiate. there's not a different song that it plays. Like, it's like, yeah, fire, or you just burned cookies. No, it's the same obnoxious ring. It doesn't know. Something triggered its sensor, right? Smoke rises and the alarm rings. It's simple. It's a very simple mechanism. So is our alarm. You know, when we're fighting, our alarm's going to keep ringing. In a home, when the smoke dies down, the alarm turns itself off. And that's the big key with this. It's not like we go and you turn off the alarm. When the smoke dies down, usually somebody grabs a dish towel and runs upstairs and starts fanning, right? You fan the smoke alarm, somebody opens the windows, and the smoke dies down. And the alarm is no longer being triggered anymore. The alarm turns itself off. With us, when our resistance dies down, our alarm turns itself off. It happens as a passive sort of thing. But because I have very active people, we are really good at doing things. So it's, okay, I accept it aloud. Why isn't it gone? Well, because you're using these dare tools as weapons to try and shut up your alarm. Let go. Just let go. If it's ringing, it's ringing. It's learning how to allow it to become irrelevant, unimportant. It can still be uncomfortable and you don't have to like it. But the key is learning how to let go and not get rid of things. You have to give time some time. We're not very good at that either, generally. Like, oh, whenever it happens, well, I'll just be patient and whatever. But it's learning how to allow time to pass by saying, yes, that's fine. It can ring. It's uncomfortable, but it's unimportant. So I try and make those points on the first calls of boot camp or the challenge weeks or even on my one-to-one calls, just so that people can really see why they're using the tools, like what they're using it for, not to eliminate dizziness or to eliminate thoughts I don't like, because how the heck is that possible, you know? But it's learning how to not fight those things. Does that make sense to everybody? I just want to open up the call and see if anybody has any questions about any of that or needs any clarification.
This is Mark.
Hi, Peyton.
It's Marcia. I understand intellectually that, you know, it's the fear of this discomfort that we don't like or the unwanted intrusive thoughts, but I want to be comfortable. You know, it's so hard for me. I want to feel relaxed and calm. And so it's really hard for me to live with this discomfort. Can you, like, what do I do?
Right. Anybody not like that? Anybody say, no, I love being uncomfortable. Marcia, you're on the wrong call. Right? Nobody. Everybody wants to be comfortable. And sometimes when you step back and you can view it like that, you're like, oh, of course. Right? Because anxiety is such an inward turn thing. Right? It's almost like nobody has a clue of what I'm feeling. You know, if anybody had any idea what was going on in my head or in my body, right? So, of course we want to be comfortable. That's great. You want to be comfortable for the sake of being comfortable. Like, if you're cold, I would tell you to go turn on your heat, and then you'll be warm, just for the sake of being warm, right? But if you're trying to eliminate something that's uncomfortable to get rid of anxiety, you're basically just telling your alarm, keep paying attention. This discomfort is very important. You're already uncomfortable for whatever reason, whether it's thoughts, whether it's sensations, whatever you're already feeling it's already happening, right? It's already been felt. So where we get stuck is, okay, this is how I feel. And then it can kind of go two paths, right? You can say, all right, well, this is how I feel. Oh, well, I'm already feeling this. You shrug and you kind of go about your day, and either that discomfort will linger or it'll sort of become unimportant. Or we can say, oh, I'm uncomfortable. And we say, I need to get rid of this. So we call our friend, our alarm system, who helps us get rid of things. So as long as you're trying to get rid of something, your alarm is going to help you get rid of it. So the more it basically comes on and it shines another magnifying glass on it. And then here's another magnifying glass. Oh, and there's another one. And it becomes important as if it's danger. Right? Like I've been referencing bees lately. That's been my danger. It used to be zombie apocalypse. I've moved on to bees. Like, are there bees in your home right now? Is your home full of bees? If there are, it's not just discomfort, it's dangerous, right? So get the hell out of your house. Leave your house. Or fight the bees, or flee from the bees, or freeze so the bees don't sting you. But do something, right? Do something to survive. But does it feel like bees, right? Feel is the big F word when it comes to anxiety. Feels. Who can describe their anxiety without the word feel? It's pretty much impossible, you know? So, but it feels this. So describe your discomfort to me, Marsha. Like, what is it? What is the feeling? What are you feeling that you don't like?
I have a lot of depersonalization feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That last all day. And I have a lot of just anxiety. I actually started meds a few weeks ago, and I have a lot of issues around that because I judge myself for that, and I'm scared about it. But I wasn't able to sleep. I was just having so much shaking and feeling like I was going to jump out of my skin and feeling like I was losing my mind. And so those are some of the feelings. And then I had a lot of suicidal ideation, like not that I planned it or wanted to, but I was afraid that I couldn't live like this anymore. What would I do in the future? So I was so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. You described that perfectly because the description of it was so awful, right? It was, I felt like I was going to jump out of my skin, right? You hear like how this, and this is just par for the course, right? This is how we describe our anxiety because it does feel so extreme, right? I felt like I was losing my mind. I felt like I had to jump out of my skin. And we describe it all, but then when you kind of boil it down to its bare bones, the last thing you said was, I was just so uncomfortable, right? And when we start talking more like that, we kind of start putting it in its place where it's, I just truly don't like how I feel, even if it's an extreme. Even if I really, 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 really don't like how I feel, learning how to not fight how you feel starts sending this message to your alarm that it's still just discomfort. It's not discomfort that I also need to fight as if my life is in danger. So the more we fight, the more important we make it. Because if you're fighting things, right, it must be dangerous. Right? That's how we send kind of like the wrong message to our alarm. Not on purpose, obviously, you know, but that's what we do. By fighting, we're saying, this needs to be gone. Why? Is it dangerous? No, I don't like it. But it doesn't know the difference, right? Burnt cookies or house burning down. As long as you're fighting, it will keep ringing. So we can't stop the ringing. We can't just turn that off, but we could just stop fighting and start sending a new message. Say, you're right. I don't like this. And I want to be comfortable, but oh well, so what? Who cares? Those are all diffusing words that I don't know if anybody really uses so much on the calls when it comes to all of this, right? But it's learning how to start changing how you're talking about how you're feeling. Because the more we fight how we feel, the more relevant we're keeping it. That makes sense. Obviously, it's not a snap, and you're gonna be like, "Oh, yes, this is great. This is fine, and I'm all better now." But it's paying attention to not just how you're feeling, but what you're doing in response to how you're feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my anxiety was so great. I know a lot of people have talked about this in the success story, but I couldn't eat, and I lost so much weight, you know, really quickly, and I really felt out of control. No, not able to sleep, not able to eat.
Right. Sure. Because if you're in high alert, like if you were really in a survival situation, You're not concerned about sleeping, right? If you're in the middle of a war zone, you're not going to go, I'll just go sleep. Fine. No, you're on alert for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And, oh, there's the next thing. So now our alarm is in a kind of overprotective mode, and it's ringing at everything. So when you start letting go, see, it works kind of, it's like that whole chicken or the egg concept.
That was Kinsey.
Like, you have to
There's a lot of background noise. People talk.
Somebody talking in the background? Hello?
There's a radio. Anyway, okay, sorry.
Let me just see here. I don't hear a radio. Does anybody else hear background noise? Maybe it's gone. But can anybody else relate to that, where it's like, yes, we can describe in such great detail how we feel, but Michelle, let me tell you exactly why this particular thing sucks the most. Let me tell you why. And so when you kind of take a step back and you look at it, you're like, oh, well, then that's just what I'm fighting the most. I'm giving myself all the reasons why that's the thing I'm fighting the absolute most, because I hate that one the most. And the answer is sure. Say it all you want. Nobody has to like that idea or that feeling. But this is teaching you how to not fight those things that we don't like. I know everybody's on the call for all different particular challenges, but can you see how this approach is all related to the same sort of thing? No matter what you're on the call for, and if not, please feel free to ask, and I'd be happy to describe it better.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
Yeah? Okay. All right, good. I mean, because I know I just wrote down just the main, I think some people came on for health anxiety and some for intrusive thoughts. But think about it. It's generally the what if of a health problem. Is that right? Anybody who's on the call with health anxiety? Is this basically how it goes? Like, what if this is like, oh, my heart palpitations, what if it's cancer? Or what if it's a stroke? Or what if it's something, it usually goes along that line. Is that about right? Anybody on the call? Health anxiety? No? Well, maybe that was unless.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get to a place where I can talk without background noise. This is Donna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, as you were talking a few minutes ago, and Marcia, was that her name?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as she was talking, and I'm listening to her experience and thinking about that, lying in bed and feeling the way she was feeling, and I'm feeling so empathetic for her and sympathetic and all of that, my heart starts skipping beats or having the premature beats right then in that moment. And I'm here for health issues. Immediately my thought is, okay, what's happening to me? Feeling short of breath, then starting to feel dizzy. And all the while listening to you all talk and listening to what you're saying and logically knowing that what you're saying is right, that it's just a sensation, it's a feeling. I'm thinking, okay, why? Because I'm an analytical person, and if something's going to happen, I need to know why it's happening. And I'm thinking, okay, I probably got too involved with her story and started feeling that myself. And the next thing I know, I'm on the edge of a panic attack. So while I can logically listen to what you're saying and say, yeah, I get that, that's absolutely right, I'm still feeling those sensations and feeling them in the moment and
right.
Saying, okay, what do I do? And I've been through DARE boot camp, so I know the steps and start doing the steps, but, you know, still the sensations, obviously that's discomfort and it's unpleasant and there's the fight or flight and, you know, there it goes, so.
Right. So that's a great example, because it's like, you know, you're hearing somebody else talk about something different, and now you know, you might even be thinking, and people, as the calls go on, some people say, oh, I've had that feeling before. Who cares? I don't care about that thing. But this thing, oh, let me tell you about this thing, right? Like you're explaining, like your heart started beating faster, right? Somebody on this call right now might say, oh, that happens to me all the time. Who cares? But these thoughts, oh, let me tell you about these thoughts, right? So we all experience similar discomforts, right? When they're pinned up on our radar as important. So if you have health anxiety, that heart rate is important to you, right? Because it's, what if I have a heart attack, right? What if I can't control it? What if I can't, okay, calm down. Use DARE to feel better and make this go away. But remember, DARE is like, oh, yeah, there's that thing I don't like. DARE, diffuse, allow, and towards engages. Oh, well, yep, there's that heart rate. You're right, alarm. There's that thing. I hate that thing. I never have to like when my heart rate goes faster. What if I have a heart attack? Right? I mean, I'm guessing that's one of your top, gotta go there, right? Donna?
Yeah, there is that, obviously. Yeah, the heart attack, the stroke, because it's not the racing heart, it's the premature beat where it skips a beat, which is really a much different sensation because it affects breathing and it's like I can't get my breath. And, yeah, okay, I've felt this before and lived through it, but what if I don't this time? And I'm at work right now, so to me there's also, you know, the embarrassment of it all. And so, okay, you know,
right.
I've got to function and, you know, all those things. So then the thoughts start as well as the physical symptoms.
Right. Perfect description of how it works because that's just this to a T. You know, here's just a sensation that's already happened, right? Here's something that happened. But now we are creating this story, right? Now all of a sudden you are being carried out on a gurney in front of all your coworkers, right? Through work.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, and you're just sitting here on a phone call. But that's what we do. It's the runaway train. Or like, you know, you go from here, I had this funny thought in my head. Oh, what if I can't function at work anymore? And then I lose my job, and then I lose my house, and now I'm homeless, and I live in a box. That you go from, you know, it happens in seconds. We have very creative brains, and that runaway
train. Who will visit me in the mental hospital? That's
right.
Where it goes.
Right. Who's gonna come bust me out of here? But that's what we do. And remember, they're all ideas we don't like. Nobody fights the good stuff. Right? Nobody calls me and is like, oh, I'm having intrusive thoughts of what if I win the lottery and I win $100 million and I just can't stop thinking, Michelle, of like how many houses I would buy. And they're like just intrusive thoughts. I just can't stop thinking about it. Nobody calls me for that. They call me for the shit stuff, you know? What if I die? What if I go crazy? What if I lose control? What if I feel like this forever? What if this never goes away? I mean, those are basically the top ones, right? All the stuff we don't like, fine. You don't have to like them, and you don't have to like any of those sensations, but that's not where anxiety is. Anxiety is the fight of those things. So when it's, oh, there's my heart just skips a beat. Oh, it's actually okay if it beats faster, but not if it skips a beat. Because if it skips a beat, it could affect my breathing. And then what if I can't breathe and I pass out? And then what if I pass out and I'm at work? And then I embarrass them. Oh, gosh, what if I have to take off my shirt to do my to take care of me? And then I'm at work. We create this disaster, right? So learning how to kind of take a step back and just look at those as honestly, truly, those are all just thoughts in reaction to a feeling you just had in your body that you didn't like. And I sound like a real jerk when I say it that way. But when you start saying it that way to yourself, kind of simplify it, you know, it becomes less important. It's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, alarm. That's right. That's a feeling I don't like. What if you have a heart attack? What if you die? And to me, like, these conversations can always be told the same sort of way, and you just sort of replace the worst-case scenario, right? So if I ask somebody, you know, what's your fear around all these sensations and thoughts? And it's, what if I die? Let's just say that. What if I have a heart attack? Okay, that's a nice simple one. What if I have a heart attack? Well, then my answer to you, like the answer to what if I have a heart attack would be, oh, well, then you'll have had a heart attack. right? I mean, what if I have a heart attack? Well, then you'll have a heart attack. And the response is usually, I don't want to have a heart attack, right? And my response would be, yeah, no kidding. Nobody wants to have a heart attack, right? Nobody wants to have whatever it is we're fighting against. But that's not what's happening right now. Right now, you're just having the idea of that happening. You're just fighting the idea of that. Yes, because you're feeling things you don't like and you're having thoughts you don't like. And it's okay that you're feeling things you don't like. It's learning how to not fight that. So you have you and your alarm. You're on the same side. And Barry says, you know, make it a cartoon character, give it a funny face. Really, like, try and do that. Try, like, we did that on Dare Advance a couple months ago, and it was awesome. It was funny, too. Because we can't see each other on the group calls, we gave it, like, funny little voices, you know, different rates of speech or whatever. And then, so you can really see, what's my alarm saying, and how am I responding to it? So your alarm might be something like a little nervous Nelly, or I picture a little kid version of ourselves going, but Michelle, what about that? Oh, but what about that? Or sometimes it's my grandmother. It's my Nana. God bless her. You know, picture like, you know, little old lady from the Bronx, basically telling me every worst possible scenario that could ever happen in my life. Why? Because she loves me and she wants to make sure I'm okay. So she will point out every potential disaster that could possibly happen. But now we can't shut our alarm up, right? But we can choose what we do in response to it, right? So when our smoke alarm goes off in our house, and it really is just cookies, we're not going to evacuate just because. We say, oh, it's just burnt cookies. It doesn't make it any more pleasant. It doesn't make the sound any better, and it doesn't make the alarm turn off any more quickly. But we're sending this message to ourselves that this is not danger. We don't have to do anything right now. And so we're going to start living our lives based on not getting comfortable, but learning how to allow comfortable to become irrelevant. And that's through the steps of DARE to really the steps on how to do nothing. Not how to, oh, gosh, I have to deal with this for the rest of my life with, like, the balls and chains shackled to my legs and just drudgery. It's more like, yeah, well, that's how I feel right now. Wow, look at all these things I can do while I'm feeling this feeling, right? And should an actual problem actually happen, we will deal with it right then, right? And just like, Donna, your example at work, like, oh, gosh, what if I have a heart attack? Well, what if something happens and I'm here at work? So that's your opportunity to use DARE, right? Your alarm will always ring. Sometimes it'll ring at the wrong times, and it's learning how to say, all right, well, whatever. So then great. Then let's do it now before I have to send out like these 10 emails or before my meeting starts, because I freaking hate that meeting. So let's do it now. And I'll get to, go home early and I get a day off from work. That's run towards. That's a way of making it almost lighthearted. Again, not that you want the content of those thoughts to happen, but that you're not fighting the fact that you're having a thought you don't like. So again, they might not be your particular stories, but can everybody on the call see how it can be related to you and your situation? Or does anybody have any questions on how all of this is working?
What wonderful explanation, Michelle. I definitely see how it's all tied together. It sounds so simple when you state it as clearly and precisely as you just did. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and that's not the problem, but like with this, it's very simple. It's about as simple as it could be, but it's not easy, you know? Sometimes the simplest things, it doesn't mean it's easy, right? So I try and speak very simply because it is a very simple part of our body. It only cares if it thinks something's going to happen to you. Our alarm system, its only job is to keep us alive for as long as possible. So if it senses danger, it's going to give you energy to fight whatever it is you're fighting. So as long as you keep fighting, it's going to keep helping you fight that thing. So that thing will always be very important if you're always fighting it. So learning how to let that thing be there, and again, whatever you're on the call for, if it's a thought, particular thoughts, go get more of them. You're already having them anyway, right? But it's learning how to have them in a different way. Well, they're already there. Huh. Well, guess what? It's just a thought in my head. I can think of anything. I could put a party hat on that thing, or I can add to it. I can take away from it. It's a thought. I just can't eliminate thoughts from my own brain because that's just not possible. You know, I can't eliminate spontaneous sensations out of my body. Whatever I'm feeling, I'm already feeling. My problem isn't really that. My problem when it comes to these calls is me trying to fight it, control it, get rid of it, make it feel better, which is another version of get rid of it, make it go away. Learning how to sit and just be uncomfortable kind of takes, it's like taking the background music out of a scary movie. Do you ever see like a scary movie with no sound? It's ridiculous. It's weird. You know, like you see them all moving and doing their things, or like a sad movie until they put the sad music in the background and then, you know, it feels so emotional. But when you can't kind of just keep it to the facts. Yes, this is a thought I just had that I don't like. Oh, well. That's right. There's a thought I don't like. When you start learning how to nod in agreement, right? And I know this is kind of like that counterintuitive part where somebody said before, it doesn't work on logic, right? Like logically, I know X, Y, and Z. Yes, we're all very logical people, but our alarm doesn't care about logic. Our alarm doesn't ring on the 99% chance that this doesn't happen. It rings on the, but what about, what if that 1% chance it does happen? Right? And you get to respond to it, not in a way that makes you feel better. Again, I know this sounds weird and probably backwards from other maybe approaches that you've heard before. It's not, it's okay. Look, you're fine. Oh, look, you've been to 27 cardiologists. You're healthy. You're 27 years old. You're fine. It does not do a thing for your alarm, right? Your alarm's like, but what if, but what if, but what if next time, but what if this time, but this feels a little different than the last time. And again, heart is just an example. It could be anything else. But then you get to say to your alarm, again, this is that backwards part. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That totally could happen. You're right. I could have a heart attack. You're right. I could go crazy. You're right. I could die. I could do whatever. Whatever it is we're really bracing ourselves for, your alarm's just saying, gee, those things are really bad. What if they happen? You get to say, oh, I guess they could happen. But right now, they're not happening. Right? Okay, alarm, right now we're just uncomfortable. So thanks for pointing that out to me. So whether we're uncomfortable for 5 seconds or all day long, it's still just discomfort. But thank you so much for looking out for me and for letting me know about that. I'm going to go about my life now with just feeling uncomfortable. I would love to be comfortable. That's not our job. Our job is to just go back and engage in life. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's almost like the work isn't actually on these calls. The work is in between the calls. So from Monday through Friday, it's kind of like you have to find the things that you fight the most so you can spend the most time allowing that discomfort without the fight. Does that make sense? Like probably the opposite of what everybody wants to do.
Yes, it just seemed like very difficult at first.
Sure. Definitely. I often reference the gym, too. Anybody who's heard me before, this is my old fallback reference, too. I don't go to the gym. I know Barry tells you to. I will tell you to also. I don't. Maybe someday someone will pick me up and take me with them. Let's say I were to start going to the gym. And picture just the gym in general. Nobody goes to the gym expecting it to feel good, right? It never feels good. Oh, I'm not doing it right because it's still not comfortable. It's not supposed to be comfortable. It's a workout, right? It's the gym. So people are going to the gym with expectations of what's beyond the gym, right? I want to lose 10 pounds, but obviously not today. I'm not going to lose 10 pounds today, but as long as I kind of keep going to the gym and I exercise and I eat right, I will get more energy. I will, you know, for my overall well-being, I'm just going to go to the gym and expect that I just might be uncomfortable, right? So if I were to go, I would start with the smallest weights there. I'd start with 5-pound weights, and they would feel very heavy. I would feel very uncomfortable, and I would probably feel worse when I got home because it's easy, and I am comfortable when I am home eating Oreos in my kitchen, right? I am comfortable doing that. It feels good, right? The gym does not feel good. But if I want, you know, something bigger further down the line, I'm going to go to the gym, right? So I might feel worse that night because now not only am I out of shape, now I'm out of shape and I'm sore. So it's not so much that, oh, this gym, the gym might not work for my particular body. This is uncomfortable. And I went for like 30 minutes and I still feel the same. So I don't think the gym's going to work for me. So replace all that with DARE, right? I don't know if DARE will work for my kind of anxiety, or I might be a little different than everybody else because of X, Y, and Z. That's pretty much what everybody says too. So you have to just keep going to the gym, you know? As long as I keep going, I get stronger. You know, I will keep going, and as long as I keep working out and picking up those 5-pound weights, I'm not expecting comfort. Comfort is no longer my goal. Comfort is, you know, again, me just going for the sake of going. And after a few weeks go by, those 5-pound weights now, it's easy, right? It feels so light. But you see, it's all relative. They felt so heavy when I first started, but now they feel so light. It's nonsense. The weights didn't change at all. How they feel was irrelevant. They feel lighter because I got stronger. You see? So it's not about changing the weights. I'm not here to make your weights feel lighter. I'm here to help you to get stronger so that those weights start to become irrelevant. You don't have the need to fight them anymore. And even if you do, you feel like you need to fight them, you take that conscious step and just say, I don't give a shit. Just go ahead. It's just discomfort. And you kind of like become almost a hunter. Like, you have to go to the gym to exercise. You have to go find your things that you would originally fight against. Grab your alarm. Take it with you. Hey, there's that thought. Yeah, oh, that's right. You're ringing. You are telling me all about that thought and how much we hate that thought. That's right. You're right, alarm. I'm agreeing with you. I'm nodding. I'm not trying to shut you up. Totally hate that thought. Yep, that's right. And I hate the idea of that thought, and I hate having it. But, oh, well. That's right. That's the thought I'm having right now. It's just a thought. It's just a thought that I'm having right now in my brain. You're right. So now let's take, I can have a thought in my brain and still go to work. I can have a thought pop up in my head and still drive my kids to school. I can have a funny feeling in my body and still continue about my day. Should it become a medical emergency, I will deal with that in the present moment. But right now, it's just discomfort. Do you hear how the words change?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the work to do during the week. So you'll have, you know, different messages and like audios to listen to geared towards your particular thing that you signed up for. But know that it's all the same approach. So if you think, oh, I signed up for Intrusive Thoughts, but maybe I'll do a, like, physical sensations next week. Don't bother. It's all the same thing. You can use the same response towards everything you're trying to get rid of that you know you kind of can't get rid of anyway. Right? But it's learning, it's getting rid of the getting rid of. Right? It's weird. It's this very weird approach where it's learning how to do nothing when it feels like you need to do so much. When your alarm's like, but what about this? Take a look. If it really is danger, then yeah, do something. If a car is coming towards you, don't like, okay, yeah, diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. No, you're going to get hit by a car. Like, yeah, get out of the way. But if it feels like a car is coming towards you, right? If it feels like what if something bad's happening to me? If it feels like danger, then that's your golden chance to practice. You get to say, oh, wow, I hate how I feel right now. I am going to just sit right here and just let myself not like how I feel. I already don't like how I feel. That's not the problem. I can't get rid of that. But I can stop fighting how I'm feeling. Does that make sense
question
to everybody?
Real quick.
I just want to make sure that's
yeah, question real quick again. This is Donna. I get that. However, one of the things I feel is that over time, because I've dealt with this for so long, that my instincts can't be relied upon anymore to know what is real danger and what isn't. And I'll mute myself because I know it's loud here.
No, well, real danger is if it's happening right now. Right? So we're still trying to figure it out, right? But could it be? Could this be a heart attack? Right? Could this be a medical emergency? Right? Even if it's 2 seconds into the future, if that's kind of where you're kind of stuck, like, but this, could it be something? Is that where you're getting mostly stuck on?
Yeah, I think. I mean, what you've just described is like, you know, saying this is not real danger. Well, that's a judgment, you know, and over time, what I'm feeling like is that the instinct to know what's real danger and what isn't is not something I rely on anymore because I've been dealing with this for so long. So I'm just wondering, is that something that's, you know, that's going to be a part of the coming week, something that'll be talked about?
It's also letting go of this idea that you need to figure it all out ahead of time too. Like, you are not in real danger right now. Like, are you bleeding out of your eyeballs right now? You know, like, I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but I'm saying, like, that's what you want, how you want to start talking to yourself. Like, huh, am I laying on the floor? Huh, have I passed out? Oh, did my arms fall off? Again, are there bees? Or does it feel like there are bees? Or does it feel like there's almost bees? Or I think I heard a bee. Or, you know, like, we start fighting. What if this is danger? So even if it's almost going to be danger, say, well, then let's just see. All right, let's see. Call it bluff. Run towards. All right, well, let's see. If I'm going to have a heart attack, I can't dare myself out of a heart attack. I can just dare is designed to not fight the idea of what if I have a heart attack. You see the difference? You know, people who have had heart attacks are saying, oh, gosh, if I just used dare properly, I could have avoided all this. No.
I'll also say that I've called 911 on myself, you know, two or three times, you know, because they say, no, that's not, you know, you're just having a panic issue. But there's that trail that it takes you down. Okay, I'm feeling this. Oh, wait, is my arm numb? Does my jaw hurt? All the lists that I know of signs of heart attacks. You know, okay, well, I might be feeling this. And just you know what I'm saying.
Right. And that's exactly how our alarm works. Because then if we've decided what the worst case scenario is, we're going to look for and find all of our supporting evidence. Right? If your thing is stroke, medical condition, your alarm's going to be checked into all of those things. Right? But if it's somebody else, and it's funny how it works. Let's say somebody else, maybe even on this call, might not even care about the physical problems. But what if they completely embarrass themselves in front of everybody else? They say, I don't really care if I have a heart attack, but I'm going to go lock myself up in my office so I don't have to embarrass myself in front of everybody else. You know, so it's kind of like whatever it is you're fighting against the most. So learning how to let go and say, well, you know what? If I fall over my desk, if I fall in front of my desk, you know, I'll make sure I'll drop down with my phone with me. And I'll call 911 then. And when you start letting go of the fight of sensations, it's sensations that you don't like how you feel. And we always attach them to, but it could be danger. Of course, it could be. And this is your example, but somebody else might come on and say, but I could. It could happen. And because your alarm will never ring on something that's impossible. Right? Nobody ever calls me and says, what if I get attacked by a unicorn? Nonsense, right? But I could have a heart attack. I could have a stroke. I could get in a car accident while I'm having a panic attack. Michelle, that's why I'm fighting it. Like, these things could happen, right? But we're fighting the coulds. So in a situation, in a real life situation, if something just exploded in your office, you wouldn't have to think about it. You wouldn't have to look deeply into it. You wouldn't be analyzing anything. You wouldn't be Googling. You would be evacuating in response to an immediate danger that's happening right now. You see? So you would jump into action based on something that's really happening to save your life right now. If there was a fire, you would leave, right? But it smells like fire. It could be fire. What if it's fire? Oh, I smell a candle that reminds me of fire. And it might ring your alarm. Your alarm, again, like most people on the call, has gotten overprotective. And now it's ringing. Now it rings out real danger and ideas of danger. So it's learning how to take those sensations and be, I hate the word, using the word playful, but that's kind of where you get to use dare. Oh, all right. Well, my heart's racing right now. All right. Well, I have, I'm standing right here with my coworker. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to have a heart attack. Let's go have a heart attack, but I'm not fighting what I'm feeling right now. And you know what? I guess if I have a heart attack, she'll just call 911 for me. And I know that sounds flippant and kind of silly, but that's learning how to not fight the idea of danger. Do you see? It's still discomfort, but you're fighting the idea of what if it becomes danger. So it was learning how to just sit with discomfort. So for this week, take note of, yeah, that's right. It's funny. As soon as you said, feel pins and needles in your arms, I checked in and I must have been like leaning on my counter on my right arm. I'm like, huh. I kind of can't feel my right arm either. But I don't care about that. I might have other things that I care about. There are other things that ring my alarm that might not ring yours, but to me, this doesn't ring up on my radar because that's not just one of my things, but that's one of your things. So it's kind of like you almost need that discomfort so your alarm can ring, so you can sit without fighting the ring of your alarm. It's kind of like right down the rabbit hole in Alice in Wonderland. But the more you allow discomfort, the more you start showing your alarm that it's just discomfort. Sure, someday it could be danger. We all could have something dangerous happen. We could always all have some medical thing that could potentially happen. But it doesn't mean it's always happening right now. Does anybody on the call not here for that particular thing, but does experience similar sensations that could say, oh, I have that, but I don't really care about that? Anybody on the call that could show, like, another view of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot like we were saying in the Facebook group, it's hard to pick just one, but I thought for mine, like, everything just boils down to anticipatory, because with the health, you're anticipating, well, what if it's a heart attack? Or with driving, well, what if I get in a car accident? So in my mind, that's why I chose anticipatory, because I thought it all kind of boils down to that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it. You'll see, anxiety loves the what ifs, the world of the what ifs. I sometimes talk about, like, it's kind of like walking down the street and seeing a firefighter, like, with hose full blast on a building that's not even on fire. You're like, what are you doing? Did you just put the fire out? And the firefighter turns around and says, well, no, there's no fire. But, that woman in 16C, she leaves her oven open sometimes. And this one, she smokes in bed. So, I figured I'd just stand here with my hose on this building all day long just in case the building catches fire. And
right.
That's
and
a lot
kind
of
like
how
what
we
you're
live.
Saying. Like you're saying, you only do what ifs with the bad stuff. Like the way that I kind of joke about it sometimes, like my what ifs, like statistically of all the different things happening at one time lining up to be that what if, I'm certain I'm going to be the one that rolls those dice and gets that odd, but I'm also not going to go down with those same odds and buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's a good way to practice too. Same thing. Like, what if I die? Oh, what if I win the lottery? Right? Who knows? They only gotta be able to win it, right? Like, people still play the lottery even though the odds are slim. Your alarm is still going to ring even if the odds are slim because what if, right? But on two different sides of the same coin. So let it ring. Like I mentioned my grandmother before. She would sit and watch. I have three little kids. She would watch them play in the yard, in the grass, just grass, you know, in the beginning, just playing, and she would just yell at them, stop running. Michelle, what the hell are you letting your kids run for? This is what she would do. Stop running. Like, Nana, why are you telling them to stop running? They're just playing. They're going to get hurt. You want your kids to get hurt? This is how she would talk to me. No, I don't want my kids to get hurt, but I'm also going to not tell them to never run and play because what if they get hurt? You know? And that's kind of like the mindset for this. Like, yeah, you might get hurt. Kids do get hurt. Kids do get hurt playing sometimes. But, you know, we're pretty cautious people. Like, we're not out running and playing in the highway, you know. But, like, we have become overcautious. And now we're fighting ideas of danger, not actual danger. So, you know what, kids? Go play in the grass. If you get hurt, I will absolutely address it right then. And that's good old anticipatory anxiety for everything. And that's your alarm just basically tapping you on the shoulder and going, hey, what about that? And you get to say, hey, you're right. You know, that really would suck. That would really be awful. You're right. And if that were to happen, if that does happen at some point in our life, definitely ring, send me a bunch of energy, and we will absolutely deal with it right then. But right now I'm just cleaning my house. Right now I'm just getting ice cream. Right now I'm just going to work. Oh, but what if? Oh, okay. Oh, what if that happens? Oh, well, then that's what will happen. And then we will deal with that situation that's happening. Does that make sense? And that's for all the what ifs. They all work the same way. Do you see how that could be applied to all of your kind of anticipatory anxiety? Kind of doesn't matter what it is. It's never about the content. It's about the fight of those ideas.
Exactly.
All right, so does anybody have that? I know we're over time, but does anybody have any last questions, or did I not address something that you wanted to be addressed, or even like setbacks? It's like, I hate the term setback. I know some people are on for setbacks, but to me it's like, oh, my alarm's just ringing at the wrong times again, and maybe I got stuck into a pattern of fighting it again. Oh, well, same thing. Oh, well, so what? Who cares? It's just kind of like, all right, it's kind of back up onto overprotective mode. And it's just me being more mindful. Got to be more of like the hunter, kind of go out and look for ways to practice. I have to go seek it out so I can allow it to regulate itself, you know? So with that sort of mindset, like, and every once in a while, our alarm system might get a little screwy again, whether it's stressors with your home or family or work. Sometimes we get sick. And all our systems get a little screwy. Why wouldn't our alarm system? But it's that fine, mastering that fine art of learning how to say, yeah, my alarm's a little out of whack right now. It's ringing at how I'm feeling. And yeah, I could see why, because I've been kind of fighting how I'm feeling. So I'm just going to like learn how to do nothing and let the dust settle. You know, you shake out a rug, especially a rug in my house, shake out a rug, a lot of dust flies around, right? All is dust. So you have two people side by side shake out their rugs, right? One person and then the person right next to them. They shake out their rugs. Dust everywhere. So one person is us on our calls. What do? We're like, oh, I don't like that dust. Move our arms around. We try and push that dust away. I don't like my hair all dusty. I don't like how it looks. I don't like how it feels. It smells bad. I don't like this. It's uncomfortable. And we're pushing it away because we feel as if we're doing something, we can get rid of it, right? Person next to us shook out their rug and basically just did nothing afterwards. And their dust just settled down. And here we are, kind of like arms moving. I don't like this, but I need to use all these things. I need to get rid of it. Oh, now mine's never settling down. I've been dusty for 10 years. Stop moving your arms. Just don't do anything. Don't do anything. The dust will settle itself down. Every once in a while, it might get stirred back up. But that still doesn't mean you should wave your arms all around. It still just means, yeah, sometimes the dust gets blown up. Oh, oh well, right? Oh well, still don't like it, still nothing to do about it. Dare is learning how to do nothing when your dust blows up, you know, when the discomfort comes, when you don't like how you feel. So I know I kind of sound like a broken record, especially after an hour and a half, but that's kind of the point. You want to start doing this to be your own broken record, right? We have well-worn patterns of, like, blocking things and trying to feel better and trying to do things to get rid of discomfort. And it's learning how to say, oh, right, I kind of go towards, I have to go towards it. Oh, right, that's just a thought. Right, I'm going to start learning how to just sit and accept and allow that I don't like how I'm feeling. Anxiety is in the sight of how I'm feeling, not how I'm feeling. How I'm feeling is just how I'm feeling. And it's kind of like giving yourself new words to use in response to all of this. So I just want to make sure everybody gets all that information on this first call. My next call will be mostly an open call, so that I would love to have everybody come on and chat and share what's working and what's not, you know, where they're stuck or if anybody has questions or feedback. So the next call will be mostly an open call. But I just want to make sure everybody gets all this information right off the bat the first day, so you kind of know what you're why you're using DARE. Not as weapons, but as tools. Tools to learn how to just truly, honestly, just do nothing. Observe it if you want, look at it, give it a nod, and then go back about your day. All right? Does this all, does everybody understand? Anybody confused about anything I've brought up today?
When's the next call?
The next call is Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Oh, and also talk about after the challenges are over, if you know, moving forward, if anybody wants to stay connected or other support that we offer here. But so now, from today through Friday, this is all your chance to say, all right, this is my gym time. I'm going to get stronger with X, Y, and Z that I've been fighting against. But my strength is weird when it comes to this. It's the strength to allow myself to do nothing and just allow myself to not like how I feel. And then we'll check back in on Friday and see how everybody's doing. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Well, post away on Facebook, too. Please, you don't have to wait for any of us to post, like, the topic for the day to respond to it. Blow up that page. You paid for this, right? Get your money's worth. Post pictures. Post videos. Post your challenges, what you're going to do that day. And remember, pay attention to how you're talking. Not so much, oh, I felt this and I felt this and oh, now I'm having this thought and this feeling. It's, yeah, okay, so I had these thoughts.